Hi everyone, welcome to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. My name is Steve Yunus, and in this next hour, our June 27, 2017 show, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including a rumor about a Superman Red Son movie. We're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con and some of the exclusives happening there. And we'll also be joined in the show by Scotty V for our monthly turn of some of the segments that we do, the big question, the comedy sketch, super secret soundbite, and all that kind of stuff. And we'll be opening the lines to, if we have time, take your questions and comments on any particular Superman topic you would like to discuss. And to let you know how all that works, let me introduce you to my other co-host tonight, Michael Bailey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Steve. Now, obviously, the live listeners have gone to www.supermanhomepage.com/live because they're listening to the show, hopefully. There they will find a phone number, which is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. There they will be warmly greeted by me and then eventually talking to everybody. Now, since this is 2017 and we're beaming this live across the internet and therefore around the planet Houston, you can call in via Skype. But to do that, you can use the little Skype icon at the supermanhomepage.com/live page to call and be on the show.
Yes, and don't forget, as always, there is a Flash chat room attached to the bottom of the live listening page you're on right now. So we invite our live listeners to join in there and chat with other listeners as the show continues. Michael and I will keep an eye on that chat room to react to your comments and questions as the show goes on. But we'd like to hear from you in person, so if you have time, we'll remind you about those guest call-in numbers so that you can call in using that number or the Skype button and chat with us tonight about Superman. And a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Patrick O'Neill, Stephen Wright, and I think there's one other one that's about to come. Tina, I think, has also joined the sponsors list, so it hasn't come through yet, but we thank her as well for her contribution. How are you, Mike? How's things in the Bailey household this week?
A little bit of a dental problems, but other than that, we're doing fine. Just gearing up for stuff happening at work when it's going to get really busy, and then in a couple months, we're going to be heading to Dragon Con, which I'm 98% sure, unless something happens, that I will be doing a Superman-related panel on the comics track. So when that gets confirmed, I'll say more here. But I pitched something to the guy that runs the comics track over there at Dragon Con. They got a new guy that I'm familiar with, and I thought this would be a good year to do what I wanted to do. And I hope that goes through, but it should be a lot of fun.
Oh, sounds cool. Yeah, so definitely keep us posted on what happens there if that does go ahead. That sounds really cool. And it is definitely convention season. All the conventions are lining up from next month onwards.
Yeah, I thought that San Diego was in June, but apparently I don't know if they moved it to July or I just never paid attention that they changed it to July. Not that it's a problem, but I usually thought that this was, you know, San Diego was out of the way by now.
Yeah, it's in late July this year too, so it does seem to be a little bit later than what we've become accustomed to. But let's start. And we will be joined by Scotty V. We have him lined up. We've scheduled with him to join us in tonight's show. He just hasn't come online at this point in time. So we will be getting Scotty into the show once he comes online so that we can do the podcast segments that we normally do with him once a month. But before we get there, let's start with some of the movie stuff that's happening around about the Superman world. And the one that kind of come to light within the last 24 hours was this rumor or speculation or conversations about a possible Superman Red Son movie, a live action film.
See, I don't put much faith in this, oddly enough. It's all on Twitter. It's Mark Miller. has made assertions in the past that he was approached for a Superman film or that he pitched a Superman film or whatever. And I don't know about you. I think Wonder Woman would make a better animated film than a live action film. It seems like the WB wants to keep their superhero franchises kind of in a, big budget, maybe not all in the same universe, but at the same time, if they're going to do a Superman film, they're going to do a Superman film, not an Elseworlds story. So it seems, I just don't put much stock into it, in all honesty.
Now, some people who are listening might not be aware of what's going on or what we're talking about, some background on this. As you said, it was a Twitter conversation between Mark Miller and Jordan Roberts. I'm not pronouncing his last name correctly, but he is the director of Kong Skull Island. And he says that he recently pitched a Red Sun idea to Warner Brothers, but sadly it never got picked up. They kind of knocked him back on it. And then Mark Miller says, did you hear Warner Brothers pitching directors the whole idea about Red Sun? And Mark and Jordan says, well, this is news to me because, I was the one who pitched it to them a couple of months back and they said no. So that's a bit weird. But personally, Mark Miller, who is a good friend of the Superman homepage and a person who I've known well for quite a few years now, since back in the day when he was writing Superman comic, Superman Adventures comic books. He's known for, stirring the pot a little bit. He likes to get things out there, start things, get discussions, happening so that, his projects are at the forefront of what conversations are happening, is trending, and get, chins wagging and getting the feelers out there so that Warner Brothers goes, hey, look, there's a lot of talk about this Red Sun concept. Maybe it's not a bad idea after all. But I'm with you. I don't see it happening. While I love the Red Sun comic book Elseworlds story, it's not something that you think the mainstream media or moviegoers would necessarily take to or understand or get the concept of, because it is an Elseworlds, as you say, a story that happens, outside of normal continuity. It's like a what-if story. And I just don't see them doing movies based on what-if type situations.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it would be in their best interest to do so. Now, again, if they did this as an animated film, I'd be completely behind it. I'd actually be really interested in that. I liked Red Sun. I thought it had a goofy ending in many ways goes back to the earliest incarnations of Superman before he was even published. It was one of those stories of, does Superman end up being Superman even if he's raised in a different environment? Had a nice little Cold War feeling to it. Lex Luthor was a bit of a knob, I guess is the nice way to say that. he was one of those patented Mark Miller smart guy characters who's just obnoxious. And that's maybe rather the point. But I enjoyed the story. But, maybe a live-action television movie. Like a thing on the, I don't want to say the WB, but maybe like on TNT or something like that, where they do it as like a little mini series, which would be interesting. But it's just, again, why would Warner Brothers invest in something that isn't, that's going to be a one shot, the story itself has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it doesn't really lend itself to doing sequels and such. And they seem to want to make a superhero franchise. You can't do that with one shots, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, so it's an interesting story out there. I don't think it will gain much weight beyond these current rumors and speculation. There is a motion comic out there. You can catch it on YouTube if you're interested in the story and watching a version of the story, but it was a great Elseworlds story. I think it was 2006 or 2003 that it came out.
It was between 2003 and 2006, because I remember reading it at a particular job I had that I did not have after the middle of 2006. So, it was one of those things that when people talked about Elseworlds stories, you know, when people were explaining it in interviews and such, it's like, well, you could have Batman fight Jack the Ripper or Superman land in Russia. And Miller was finally the guy to kind of get all that working. So there's a nice deluxe oversized hardcover of it out now. I mean, I do recommend it as a comic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it was 2003 that it was published. And so it definitely recommended as a reading material, but I don't think we will see much beyond that as far as a live action film is concerned. Well, that's pretty much the end of movie discussions. There are a few things in relation to Justice League, the film coming out, as far as merchandise is concerned, especially with San Diego Comic-Con and stuff like that. I'm sure there are some rumors about a new trailer coming out or being shown at Comic-Con. Joss Whedon will not be in attendance at Comic-Con. That's just recently been confirmed, so he won't be there, and Zack Snyder obviously won't be there with the family dilemma or tragedy that he's been dealing with. But supposedly there will be a new trailer shown at San Diego Comic-Con in Hall H for the Warner Brothers panel. Not sure who will be there as far as any of the cast members are concerned. But what's your opinion? And I know Scotty did a version of this in his rant on the Great Scott segment for tonight or tomorrow's Speeding Bulletin video that we're about to post on the website in relation to whether or not we want to see Superman appear in this next trailer, or do we just want him saved for the film itself?
I'm of two minds on the subject, actually. I on one hand, I would like to see him in a trailer just because we know he's there. So having him appear in the trailer is not, I don't think that would be considered a spoiler. Henry not only was on set, he was in the costume. He was in the traditional costume, as a matter of fact. And, you know, he took a picture of himself, which people are having a ball photoshopping into other circumstances of him sitting there drinking his coffee. My favorite has to be him sitting there propped up and there's all the Avengers dead around him. So I thought that was kind of humorous. But on the other hand, there is something to be said about not showing him until you actually see the film, because it's kind of like, friend of mine pointed this out almost 10 years ago, that if you, in the trailer for Star Wars The Phantom Menace, there's this really cool shot of Darth Maul, and he pops the double-sided lightsaber. And I remember in 1999 seeing that trailer and just thinking that was the most amazing thing I had ever seen. Like, that is awesome. And my buddy pointed out, like, how much more awesome would it have been if you didn't see that in the trailer and it was in the movie, and then you got it, you know, it's like a giant, you know, moment for you when you're watching the film in the theater. So it's like one of those things where I don't really know how to feel about the whole thing, because I want to see Superman more in the merchandising now that we're getting closer to the film. But I just think maybe it would be better just to see him in the movie. Now, I do know, because rumors pop up and we don't report on all of them because some of them are so suspicious that it's just like, you know, why even bother devoting bandwidth to that? But, you know, a rumor started popping up that the Superman that we're going to see in the trailer is going to be dangerous and he's going to be evil and stuff. Now, on one hand, the idea that the forces of apocalypse have somehow resurrected Superman or using him as a weapon is a great bit in the movie. In a trailer, that would work out great, because then you're like, well, what the heck is going on here? I know some people would be upset by it, going, oh, it's Superman being evil again. But in these circumstances, as a tease, I think that might work out quite well.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one to see how they do handle that because I'm same as you are. On one hand, I want to see Superman in there because I want people to know that he's part of the Justice League, but on the other hand, I don't want them to spoil his return because at the end of Batman v Superman, everyone knows that he passed away and was buried, and so we don't yet know how he will return yet. I'm kind of sitting on the fence there. I'll wait and see what they do, and then I'll complain or I'll rejoice either way, depending on what they do show. It's a delicate one, and I'm sure there's been hours of discussion in the editing suite for this next trailer to decide how they go about doing that or what they actually do.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that job. I'd be very happy if I didn't have that job. I'm very happy that I don't have that job, actually.
Yep, indeed. Now, the other thing they have about Justice League, Diamond Select Toys have unveiled their Justice League Vinimates Wave 2, which includes Superman, Aquaman, and Cyborg. Wave 1 had The Flash, Wonder Woman, and Batman. And these are blocky type toys that figures that have the characters in positions that are supposedly taken directly from the film.
They're adorable. That's really my only opinion about it right at this point, is that they're kind of cute.
Looks like Scotty's trying to contact us. Maybe you can bring him in on your
I will do
call,
so.
please, Michael. Yeah, that'd be good. So in the meantime, that's the Justice League Vinimates Wave 2 figures by Diamond Select Toys. We don't know an exact release date yet. Just unveiled the images for those figures. So hopefully we'll get to let you know where and how they are available to purchase. And speaking of Comic-Con, we don't have much Supergirl TV news or any kind of TV news at the moment. We know Supergirl season 3 will be coming back. We know that the Krypton TV series has been picked up by Sci-Fi, and that will happen in 2018. But beyond that, we don't know much more. So what we do have are these Lego San Diego Comic-Con brickheads. And these brickheads are a set that includes Supergirl and Martian Manhunter. Now, they will be available for $40. They are only available through San Diego Comic-Con. There are 234 pieces in the set to build both the Supergirl and Martian Manhunter figures. Now, the thing is, you have to be at San Diego Comic-Con and you have to first visit the Pavilion Terrace to enter a random draw that to qualify you to get a ticket. And once you get your ticket, you can then purchase them between July 21st and 23rd at Comic-Con. From the Lego booth. And if you can't get to San Diego Comic-Con, or you don't get one of those tickets, then you might be able to win one through following Lego underscore group on Twitter and using the hashtag Lego SDCC. So they seem like they're pretty exclusive and pretty hard to get, these Lego Brickheads, Supergirl, and Martian Manhunter figures.
Hello.
I think Scotty is
Scotty, how
with
are
us
you?
now.
Hello, how's it going, guys?
Doing well. Sorry
We are
about all
doing
the
fine.
mayhem trying to get you on to the show, but we're glad that you've joined us now and that you're part of tonight's program.
Hey, I'm very excited. I've been trying for a while here, and I don't know what was up, but here I am.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, I was just talking about the Lego Brickheads figures for Supergirl and Martian Manhunter that'll be exclusive to San Diego Comic-Con. Seem like they're pretty exclusive if you can't just get them by being at Comic-Con, but you have to also line up for this particular ticket to in a draw to be able to actually purchase them. They must be pretty sought after.
Well, it sounds like an exciting opportunity. I mean, obviously I won't be there, but yeah, I mean, if you can line up there and like a lot of things that happen at Comic-Con, you end up waiting in line for a while, but sometimes you end up with a really great opportunity.
Now, speaking of Comic-Con, Lewis James, who's a reporter for the Superman homepage that nearly every year now has been at San Diego Comic-Con to report on all the events and wait in lines and do things for us to get inside Hall H and all that kind of stuff for the panels and the exciting stuff that's happening around Superman and Justice League. He will be there again this year for us. So as Comic-Con closer, we will be posting a feed where you can follow his reports live from San Diego Comic-Con over that 3-4 day period that he'll be there reporting on stuff that's relevant to the Superman homepage fandom.
Yeah, I always, this is another year that I'm actually looking forward to hearing stuff from Comic-Con after, you know, the 5 or so years of the New 52 where it was just like, you know, I'll catch up with this later. Now it's just like, okay, now I'm kind of interested to hear and what announcements they may have for, you know, the future of the Superman titles and such. I mean, we're less than 20 issues away from Action 1000. So I'm assuming that's going to be a pretty big comic.
Yeah, no, I imagine that it'll be huge. And I can't wait for anything that comes out of Comic-Con this year. Scotty?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, obviously it's really great that we continued the numbers again. What we were at, 950 or something, when they cut us off and everybody was upset because, you know, they stopped it and tried to start it issue one again when the New 52 started. And obviously that didn't go over well, as we can all see. And now they've relaunched it again, and here we are. But when they relaunched it again, they started with the numbers where we were at before, and that's what everybody was excited about. And here we are again, and now we have the opportunity to reach that 1,000 mile marker. And whether or not you like the stories that are going on at this particular point, we're finally going to reach a milestone, and I think that's great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, Action Comics number one is the comic book that started it all way back in 1938. So for that to have been continuously published, you know, 75-plus years later, it'll probably be around 80 years by time. I don't know, probably won't be that close to 80 years. But, I mean, the fact that that's a long-running publication over so long is a testament to the character and to DC Comics for continuing that tradition. And I'm glad that they did go back to the renumbering. Now, speaking of the comic books, before we do hit the halfway point of tonight's show, which after that we'll be going on to some of the segments that Scotty and I will take lead on. Superman number 25 came out this past week, and this particular comic book was reviewed for us by Adam DeChannel. And I don't know if either of you have read this comic book. I know, Michael, you're a little bit behind, and Scotty, I think, might be up to date on them, but I enjoyed this issue because Superman number 25 kind of wraps up a long arc, if you like, a 25-issue arc, if you like, that Tomasi and Gleason have been doing. It kind of puts a bit of a cap on the end of this run that they've been doing so well for so long now.
I have not read it yet, so I will defer to you guys on this one.
Well, my issue with it is that, obviously we're finally at a point where we've been going for 25 issues, as you say. But I feel like Silver Age doesn't exclusively now hold the title for being the silly, you know, the most silly area that we've been in. Because now we have titles like Superman 25, where we're back into kind of that silly age again. And it almost seems like the titles that come out now, and I don't know, maybe that's what fans are looking for, and maybe that's what works nowadays, but it seems like we're almost kind of going back to what it was in the Silver Age, where it was very over the top very kind of cheesy, very kind of corny, very kind of silly. I don't know. What do you think, Steve?
Look, it's obviously got a more fun appeal to it at the moment, and has moved away from the very serious stuff that we're probably getting in the New 52, where Superman was a bit more dour and glum in some respects, or the stories were anyway. This is, you've got Manchester Black here, you've got all that he entails as far as the kind of character that he is, and the cheekiness that he brings to the conversations that he has with Superman. You've got young Jonathan swayed into moved over to the dark side, if you like, and Superman trying to get through to him. Yeah, there's a lot of Silver Age elements in if you want to call them that, in regards to Cobb's farm and the people behind these alien beings now that have come to light, as far as being the people who are there in Hamilton. So that's a little bit far-fetched on that side of things, if you like. But all in all, I like the way that Gleason and Tomasi have brought about the character interaction, the relationships between the characters. They resolved the issue in regards to Lois's injury, and in a way that I think satisfied a lot of people, because there was a lot of hoo-ha about how are they going to get there out of this one. But I think I quite enjoyed it, and I liked the wrap-up that they did of this particular story. I'd like to see them move on from Hamilton County, which is what they're doing. They're moving to Metropolis and everything now. I think that's probably, the Bessie the Cow and all that kind of stuff can be put behind us a little bit now. But, I didn't mind it at all.
Well, I think that a lot of people, depending on the type of reader that you are, in some cases, you kind of like that Silver Age feel, the idea that it's very Silver Age-y, over the top, kind of very, very extreme fantasy. On some, from my point of view, on some areas, verging on the goofy, the silly, the cheesy, the over the top. But for a lot of people, for a great amount of the fans, that's where we want to be. The idea that it's all about kind of hope and happiness and when you read a book, sometimes you want to feel good, you want to feel happy, you want to feel in a positive mood. And obviously the current climate, as far as where the movies are and where the comics were, as you say, during the New 52, it was kind of much more serious, much more realistic, much more kind of like not realistic in terms of a guy with a cape flying around, but the idea that maybe this could exist in a real world type of setting. Whereas now it seems almost like, and maybe that's what people were clamoring for, the idea that it really is a fantasy, and it kind of helps you escape from the negative that's happening in the real world and gives you this kind of really ultra fantastical fantasy world where Superman, in a lot of cases, people expect Superman should be. He's this fantasy character. He should make you feel happy, and he should make you feel, a lot of people I talk to a lot of times say Superman is for kids. Superman is for people that are looking for an outlet. He's not supposed to be real worldly and supposed to be this over-the-top, happy, positive, saving cats from trees character. And that's what he was meant to be all along. And that might not be my Superman, or that might not be what I am looking for. But in a lot of cases, it helps you to escape. It helps you to feel good. It helps you to get away from what's going on in real life that might not make you feel all that good. But now you read Superman, or you're in a situation where you can escape to this fantasy realm.
There's obviously fans on different sides of the fence there as far as what they're looking for from their comic book. Should be interesting to see where Tomasi and Gleason take now that this kind of has wrapped up, and move Jonathan, Lois, and Clark to Metropolis, and what adventures they will have there, and whether we'll see more of Clark and Lois at the Daily Planet. But that is the halfway point of tonight's program. So we're going to take a quick break. And then on the flip side, we're going to go through some of our segments. The big question, the super soundbite, and others if we have time. So stand by after these messages. We'll be back with those different segments. And don't forget that if you do want to be part of tonight's program, our guest call-in number is 714-242-6186. That's 714-242-6186. Or you can use the little Skype icon for that guest call-in number on our live listening page. And we'll hopefully have time to bring you into tonight's program. Back soon. Where is my button? Here it is. Why won't it play? Michael, can you please play number two?
It is not playing.
Yeah, it's not, is it? That's interesting, because that will have an issue when it comes to doing our other segments tonight. Let me try to reload the page and see if that helps at all, because that is a little bit of a dilemma when it comes to the super secret soundbite and other issues of tonight's program, and especially, I suppose we could get into the big question segment of the show. And now I'm the studio is not relating. Ah, I've got to love Blog Talk Radio. They do such a great job. Well, that played. Yeah, okay. Well, let's move into the big question segment of the show. We don't have the intro for that, obviously, due to the fact that we've got some technical issues happening there. But nevertheless, Scotty and I will push forward with the question segment. What was last month's big question for the fans, Scotty?
Well, last month's big question was, what did you think of the season 2 finale of Supergirl? And our first respondent was Alan Cernfan, wrote, I love the show, and thanks for another great episode. I really enjoyed the Supergirl Season 2 finale, and I hope Kat Grant is on early in the next season to build on the revelation that she knows Kara's secret identity.
Yes, thank you for that response. Next up, we have Tina Murray, one of our regular listeners. She said, I enjoyed it. I have a great respect for Supergirl, who chose to save the world while sacrificing her relationship with her boyfriend, who she loves, Mon-El. That showed me that Supergirl has a big, caring heart. I did not like how the show felt the need to downplay Superman when he made an appearance in the show. Supergirl is strong enough to stand on her own. I hope in the next season of Supergirl, they will leave Superman's brain alone and stop the brainwashing and silver kryptonite. Hear, hear.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, along that same line, I feel like as far as Supergirl standing on her own, is it really necessary to make Superman himself look so badly in terms of making Supergirl stand on her own? Is it necessary to make Superman look like he has no ability, or he's not that strong, or he doesn't have that much power in order to make Kara herself look like she's, you know, able to stand on her own? And that's probably, for me, the biggest issue that I've had, as opposed to, instead of keeping them on the on equal ground, they had to make her more powerful, stronger, able to best him in a battle, smarter, more important, as opposed to having them be, you know, both Kryptonians, both with the ability to fight well in battle or have a logic or a smart smart's ability and be able to, you know, at least be considered on equal footing. But on that same line, Hector wrote, of course, that he thought the finale was great. He liked how the Martians and Supergirl came to help. Felt like the fight was fine with fight scene with Rhea and Supergirl was lame. Mon-El leaving was heartbreaking. My favorite part of it all was that Kat Grant knew this whole time that Kara was Supergirl, and at the ending where the evil ship launched to the Earth. Could it be Zod or Baby Doomsday? We shall find out.
Yes, thank you very much for that response, Hector. Next up, we have Tyler Wynn, who wrote in saying, while there were some problems with the finale of Supergirl, I do feel that they executed pretty well for the most part. It definitely felt like the stakes were on the type of grand scale that you want a season finale to be on, and the fight between Kara and Superman is one of the best things the CW show has given us. Well, thank you, Tyler. Much appreciated with your response there. Now, what is our newbie question for this month, Scotty?
The next big question is, do you want to see Superman in the next Justice League trailer? Now, we've been hearing recently that the trailer will be released with the San Diego Comic-Con, and the rumor is that Superman will be featured in the trailer. So if you feel like Superman should be, or you don't feel like he should be, why don't you let us know and why you think so?
Yes, get involved in the big question segment of our program. You'll find the big question button under the Radio K page, which you can find under the favorites menu, and you'll be able to send us your response to the big question for this month. You can do it as an email by filling out the form there, or we haven't had an audio response in a while. If you want to an MP3 file of your response, we'd be happy to play that here. Or maybe you'd just like to call during next month's show, where Scotty will join us on the last Tuesday of the month, to bring up and give us your response then and there to the big question segment of our program. We'd be happy to hear from you. Well, that is the big question for this month. What do you feel you want to see Superman in the next Justice League trailer or not? Know why and how, and get involved in the big question segment of our program. All right, well, let's move into the comedy sketch. Michael, I don't know if you can get to that. There's a button there for Mixi, and then there's, if you can play that, we will move on to the comedy sketch.
Looking for it right now, sorry.
I'm laughing at you, you hear? Laughing!
There we have it, Gilbert Gottfried. So this month's comedy sketch comes from the people who do Funny or Die. It's about a very dangerous Superman. Superman just can't help himself. You'll hear it. Here is the comedy sketch from Funny or Die for tonight's program. Coming, promise.
Nice work, Robin. Gotham is safe again from the Joker and his goons.
Thanks, Batman. That was a close one.
No kidding.
Never fear, Superman is here.
Oh, God! Oh, no! Oh, God, Robin!
So where's the Joker? Let's get fighting, right?
Superman! You just crushed Robin!
Are you sure I did that? I think that must have been somebody else. I mean,
Somebody else? You just came down from the sky like a damn meteor and smashed him like he was nothing. You're stepping on his young face.
I understand why you're upset, and I'm upset too. I like Robin. I definitely, this is, I mean, who did this, right? We need to find out who did this.
You did this. I just saw you do this.
I think you're mistaken. I'm pretty sure while you were fighting the Joker, maybe Lex Luthor swooped in from, you know, the left, and he crushed Robin with some sort of boy-crushing machine, and he crushed the boy, and then...
A machine specifically for crushing boys.
Yeah, orphan boys. And then he slipped him underneath me right when I was landing, and then boom, I'm framed. I'm the victim here. You know, maybe he was gonna crush you, you know? Maybe you're lucky that you weren't crushed by his... orphan boy crushing machine, because you were orphan too. You technically are an
Jesus,
orphan boy.
Jesus, you're going to bring that up right now?
I'm sorry.
You're going to bring up the fact that I'm an orphan.
Well,
while you're standing on the crushed corpse of my best friend and ward, Robin.
You know, we need to find his killer.
You're the killer.
Definitely not.
Just admit.
Could have been a bunch of books, you know? I mean,
a bunch of books.
There's a library right over there.
Can you at least get off his body now?
Yeah, okay.
Why did you make a gushing mouth sound?
Well, yeah, because sometimes I make the sounds of what, it's just like how sometimes when I know what someone's going to say, maybe I'll mouth. You know what I mean? Sorry, Lois Lane is hanging. She's dangling from a...
Where?
A bridge.
Where?
In the Metropolis. The Metropolis Bridge.
The Metropolis Bridge.
Yeah, she's dangling from it. I gotta go. Look, so who should I send my dry cleaning?
Get out of here!
Okay, I'm out of here.
God, Robin. I'm so sorry.
Batman.
Commissioner Gordon.
Thank God you're here. I have vital information about the Joker's hostages.
Listen, Batman, it was my fault.
Jesus Christ!
What? I'm admitting that
you just crushed Commissioner Gordon!
Okay, now that I did not do.
So there you have it. Funny guide. Skit about Dangerous Superman.
Was that... What's his name from Justice League Action and Superman?
I actually don't know who the voice cast there is, but it does a good job.
It's crazy. It's out of control. Two things.
I'm guessing
obviously,
like that one,
once buddy. Again, we have Batman, who is the clear-headed, logical, serious character, and then we have Superman, who is portrayed as this kind of over-the-top jock, but it was very fun.
Yep, indeed. So that was the comedy sketch from Funny or Die. They have a ton of them over there. Some of them are a bit more, how should I say it? A lot more profanity in some of them. Yeah, a lot more adult. So be warned that if you do head over there, that there is some adult material. All right, let's move into the next segment of our show. Let me see if I can do these here. It worked. Thank goodness. All right, let's move into the super secret soundbite.
Only one thing alive with less than four legs can hear this frequency, Superman, and that's you.
Well, last month's sound, where did it come from, Scotty?
Well, of course, we had the animated Superman movie, Superman Batman Apocalypse. Why don't we listen to that again?
Okay, here is that sound.
Well, that's it. Shopping, junk food, I'd say you're a bona fide Earth girl.
Yeah, that was the scene where Kal-El, or Clark, is showing Kara around, and they've done all that shopping, tried on a million outfits, had ice cream, had hot dogs, all the different things during Superman Apocalypse, and so that was where that sound came from.
And as we all know, that, of course, was Melissa Benoist playing the role of Kara in that episode, obviously.
Obviously. Yeah, you can tell by her voice.
Or maybe not.
Now, we had three people guess it right. Who were they, Scotty?
They were Aileen Sternfine, or Sternfan, Tina Murray, and Hector. Both, all three got that correctly.
Congratulations, guys and girls, for guessing where that sound came from. Let's see if those three people and more can guess where in the world of Superman this new super secret soundbite comes from. Here it is.
Always have to be the hero, don't you? Right back at you.
It's a tough one. But if you think you know where in the world of Superman that sound comes from, then use the Super Secret Soundbite entry form at the Superman homepage and send your entry in. Each person who guesses it right will have their names pronounced here on Radio KAL.
If you don't mind, I have a guess myself, and that is, of course, Superboy, The Adventures of Superboy, Season 6, Episode 11. That's where I think that's from.
I think it might be 10.
Now that I think about it, Scotty might be right.
No, thank you.
I'm kind of flummoxed myself, though. But that's not a completely abnormal thing for me to be like completely confused about everything. So
there you have it. That is the super secret soundbite for this month. If you think you know what it is, then send your entry in. And when when Scotty joins us again next month, and the last Tuesday of July, we will reveal where that sound came from and read out all the people who guessed it right. So that takes us through to all the segments of the podcast as far as getting Scotty and I to do all those great things. Now, Michael, are you prepared to do a This Week in History segment? We haven't had one of those in quite a while. How do you feel about jumping to one of those?
You know, I think I can do it. I think that it hasn't been so long that I completely forgot, where to look and all that fun stuff. So I have faith in myself that I can do this.
And there was much rejoicing.
Come with me now, my son, as we break through the bars of your earthly confinement, traveling through time and space.
Well, June is always a very busy time in the life of Superman, especially in the anniversaries and such. Today, as a matter of fact, which as of this recording is June 27th, was the birthday of the man who killed Superman himself, Dan Jurgens. And tomorrow, or actually this is the same day for Steve, June 28th, Superman Returns was released in theaters in 2006, and I'm going to butcher this, so we're just going to go for that. Ayelet Zuhr, who played Laura Lorvan in the 2013 Man of Steel movie, was born in Tel Aviv, Israel in 1969, so I guess Gal Gadot does not have a
monopoly
lock on being the only Israeli person to be in the DC films. Comic book wise, in 1947, in June, late in the month, More Fun Comics number 125 came out that had a Superboy story in it, or at least I think it did. He's on the cover, but it's not inside. Wow, thank you for lying to me, cover. In 1957, Action Comics number 237 came out, Superman fighting a knight on horseback, which is kind of cool. And then over in Adventure Comics, the Adventure Comics number 239, I believe, if I am incorrect, this is the first appearance of Crypto. At least he and Superboy are doing fun stuff on the cover there. In 1967, we had an issue of Adventure Comics, which has Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes in jail, which you gotta love these Silver Age covers. And then over in Superboy number 141, he is dangling a costume figure over a boiling vat of something, which... I don't know. Do you guys like the goofy covers from the Silver Age at all? Is that something that either of you are kind of amused by?
You know, like some of them are pretty, iconic. Like the one of Superman getting his hair cut by a barber who's, and the scissors keep breaking, and there's a million of broken scissors on the floor. I mean, there are some really iconic, crazy, funny ones from back in the day that I think. Are just part and parcel of, who we know Superman to be.
A lot of times they can be considered funny, and as Steve said, with the shears cutting Superman's hair or that kind of a thing, is kind of a goofy. It makes you laugh, it makes you smile, and sometimes that's all you need from a comic. In this heavy life that we live, sometimes it's fun to have that kind of thing. I mean, I personally like a little more seriousness, but. It can certainly be fun to see those sort of things.
Well, going forward in 1977, Action Comics number 475, a Superman story in this was the superhero who refused to hang up his boots. It has Superman getting punched by somebody in a telephone booth, which is kind of amusing. In 1987, in this week, there were no Superman books published. Very sad. This is one of those years where the the last week of the month. There were no, yeah, kind of like that. And then in 1997, I don't know. I remember enjoying this book when it was out. Superboy and the Ravers, number 12.
Mm.
Where Superboy hung out with a group of other young superheroes. And the Superman, the Death of Clark Kent trade paperback was released. And then in 2007, Superman Batman number 37 came out this week. And Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes number 31. This was that, I just remember 2007 being a very bad year for Superman, so I was surprised that any of the Superman books came out during this month, because there seemed to be a couple months there where no Superman books were being published because everything was either late or backed up or, you know, whatever. So, but that's pretty much it for this week in history.
Very cool. Now, as far as this week in this year is concerned, we're looking at what comics are coming out this week, and we'll have a review from Michael Bailey for this one. Action Comics 982 will be released this Wednesday, as will the fourth and final issue of the miniseries Supergirl Being Super, and you'll be able to see our review of that tomorrow. James has already handed that in, so I'll be publishing that on the website tomorrow. And I believe there are also some trade paperbacks or hardcovers out this week. Just having a quick look. Here they are on the website. We've got Superman Action Comics The Rebirth Lux Collection Book 1 hardcover, and we've also got Superman Action Comics Volume 3 Men of Steel trade paperback from the Rebirth era as well. And there's also, if you're into the digital chapters of Injustice 2, we're up to Chapter 12 out as of today, I believe. So that is what's happening this week in the world of Superman comic books. You looking forward to Action Comics 982, guys?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep.
I always look forward to
it. I'll work on it.
Sorry, Scotty, you were saying?
Oh, I always look forward to the possibility of a book that I might actually start getting back into the idea of Superman comics every month. As you may or may not know at this point, I haven't been thrilled with the direction of the books at this point, but hopefully at some point in the future I will be, and of course each new book gives me the opportunity of possibly feeling that way.
Very cool. Well, that is where things are at for the comic books as of this week. Now, we did run a poll on the Superman homepage, as we mentioned last week, Michael, about who is your favorite voice actor of all time. And no, I didn't stuff the ballots, as you kind of hinted that I might, Michael, in regards to Bud Collier. He came in at second spot, but he was a mile behind Tim Daly, who won the votes with nearly 60% of the votes. He was voted as the fans' favorite Superman voice actor of all time, obviously having done Superman the Animated Series and other animated movies, including, I think, he was Superman in Superman and Batman Apocalypse, which you just heard as last month's Super Secret Soundbite. Bud Collier came in at second, and he was obviously Superman on the radio series and the Flash cartoons and the New Adventures of animated series as well. He had 20% of the votes. Third position, which was interesting for me, was George Newbern from Justice League Unlimited. George and Tim Daly, you usually see fans arguing back and forth about who was better, who was best. Obviously, in this case, Tim Daly clearly came out the winner in that debate. George got 7% of the votes. And Danny Dark from the Super Friends cartoons came in at fourth place with 4% of the votes. And then the also-rans were Bo Weaver from the Ruby Spears Superman cartoons, Mark Harmon from the Justice League Crisis on Two Earths animated movie, Alec Baldwin from Superman Doomsday, Nolan North from Young Justice, Channing Tatum from the Lego movie, and Alan Tudyk from Justice League War. And then even further down was Matt Bomer.
I have been watching a little bit here and there on one of the cable channels, reruns of White Collar, which was a show on USA that Matt Bomer was in. And he was up for the role for Superman Returns, if I'm correct. And every time he puts on a pair of glasses, I'm like, man, you beef him up just a little bit, he would have been a great Superman physically. So I'm glad he got the chance to play the character.
I think he starred as Superman in a Chinese, Asian, Japanese car commercial where he came out in the costume and was was Clark Kent and then turned into Superman in this car commercial. I'll have to find that for you and send you the link so you can see just what he did look like as Superman.
I do remember that commercial. I remember you shared it on the homepage at one point a few years ago, and it was quite a cool commercial. The only issue, obviously, with Matt Bomer is that he's like 3'7". that would obviously be a problem, but he did really have a good look as far as the way Clark Kent would look with the glasses on, and I think it would have worked rather well. And obviously they always used camera tricks. Neither Dean Cain nor Henry Cavill actually is all that tall or that large, but they look imposing enough on film the way they film it, and that was obviously very exciting. And as far as all the polls go, I think I would have went with Tim Daly as well. And I know, Steve, your favorite is Bud Collier, a favorite Superman of all time, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of voice and the way he changed from Clark Kent to Superman. And I have to agree, and as far as history goes, it was very iconic. It was a new thing. It was a thing that they did for the first time. And just like Christopher Reeve, a lot of people kind of measure on where the new live-action Superman will go in terms of what Christopher Reeve did. Bud Collier did something in history that is, will continuously be remembered in terms of, this looks like a job for Superman. You know, that whole thing where there really was a big change between who he was as Clark and who he was as Superman. And back in those days, all you had was radio, so it really had to go by what you did with your voice, and Bud Collier was really a standout in terms of that.
Exactly. Well, that takes us to the end of tonight's program. But before we do sign off, I'd like to thank everyone for listening in to Radio KL Live. And once again, thanks to those Alex and others that popped in and out of the chat room to listen to tonight's program. And a big thank you to my double co-hosts tonight, Michael Bailey, Scotty V. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, pleasure as always.
Thank you, Steve. And everybody, always look up in the sky.
Now, a huge thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Patrick O'Neill and Stephen Wright. And remember, if you want to support our show, please head to patreon.com/supermanhomepage. And you too can be a sponsor for as little as $3. A recording of this show will soon be available on the Superman homepage website if you'd like to listen back to what took place. But we'll be back, Michael and I, next Tuesday, July 4th at 7:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time for another edition of Radio KAL Live. Scotty will rejoin us on the last Tuesday of July. We look forward to having him back with us then. And we look forward to talking with you next week. Until then, be sure to check out supermanhomepage.com for all your daily news updates on everything surrounding the Man of Steel. I'm Steve Eunice. On behalf of myself and Michael Bailey and Scotty V., thanks for listening in to Radio KAL Live, brought to you by supermanhomepage.com.